Sorry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you that your word is a living word. And so we pray as we consider it together today that you will warm our hearts, that we may understand what you are having to say to us today and how, as your people, we should behave. So we pray that your word will be taken into our hearts and that we will live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what it is that warms your heart. Maybe a new little puppy. I looked out of the window yesterday and some of our neighbours have got a puppy and they were sharing it with some visitors and they were delighted. Or it may be some children giggling together. Or maybe watching a wildlife documentary. Or someone praising you for a job well done. I wonder what it is that chills your heart. Maybe a place that you've been to where you felt uncomfortable. Maybe a place where the occult or witchcraft was held. Or maybe it's injustice that you see on the television. Or bombings. Or it may be a diagnosis of illness for someone. Or the loss of a loved one. All of these are critical and yet external influences on our heart. But we need to be aware of them and to understand how they affect us. So as we're looking in the next few weeks about caring for one another, we're thinking today of knowing those critical influences on us. But it helps us to understand how they affect us. And then as we do so and we acknowledge that, we can be humble and honest before God. Because it's so easy, isn't it, to sweep things under the carpet and pretend that they don't matter. But we need to begin to understand how our external influences can affect us, how they may affect members of our home group, or our team that we work with, or our church family. And when we understand our own hearts, we're then able, hopefully, to be more compassionate and have empathy towards others. Especially when we know of the influences that may be causing someone else's heart to be chilled or warmed. So what are these influences? We looked last week at the heart and God and how engagement with him influences, which of course is a major factor. But people and how our relationships with them can heal or can harm us. And then our bodies. We can have strong or weak bodies, or a mixture of the both. And then the circumstances that surround us, including spiritual influences. So people, our bodies, our circumstances are influences that influence our hearts. And these three categories maybe will help us as we look at them together. People, of course, relationships are key. Close family relationships can mean that life is good. And even when difficulties come, if we have a strong family or friendship network, then those difficulties are often made bearable. That is why, of course, as a church family, it is so, so important that we support one another. And we need to remember that not everybody has a birth family that is supportive or indeed around. Maybe you remember when I spoke about the one-to-one between Jesus on the cross and John and Mary. And I mentioned then that a new family was born as Jesus said to John, "This is your mother," and to Mary, "This is your son." A new family was born through the blood of Jesus on that cross, the Christian family. And that is so important that we are here for one another a huge family. Of course, it is a big family. We have three different congregations that sometimes we cross over. And that's why it's so important that we have our home groups, because in a smaller group, we're able to share and pray for one another and support one another. And I would encourage anyone who's not yet joined a home group, please do, because in those small groups of 8, 10, 12 people, some are very smaller, then we can share together and pray for one another. In Psalm 133, it reminds us that when we live in unity with our sisters and brothers, it is a blessing. You might be a bit like me, but I don't particularly like the picture that's given there. The first picture doesn't do anything for me when it says it's like precious oil running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, down his collar. Maybe it does to some, but not to me. But the next bit is good. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. That's good, isn't it? I like that one. But whatever picture appeals to you, it's saying here that it's really good when we can dwell together in unity. And it goes on, doesn't it, the Bible, to say that as far as it's possible in our human strength, we need to be at peace with one another. And it's true at work too, isn't it? If we've got colleagues that we can work with well in a team, then work is much more enjoyable and much more productive too. But of course, in the Psalms, we also have the pain of isolation and friends who act as enemies. In Psalm 69, it says, "When I humbled my soul with fasting, they, my friends, insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my ashes, I became a byword to them. I'm the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and drunkards make songs about me." People hurt as well as bless. It's a reminder, isn't it, of the book of Job that we did not too long ago, and how his friends, and we get the saying, Job's comforters. Sadly, we, as well as others, can hurt, sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. And we need to ask God to give us the ability to strengthen and comfort when others are in distress. And we need to recognize that when people have hurt us, that we need to bring it to God so that we can forgive others too, and God can heal those wounds. Relationships when friends betray us can be devastating. And that's why divorce can be such a life-shattering experience, because it's the one in whom we've trusted, and then the trust is broken. Sometimes it's doubly so. I had a friend, a colleague, who not only did her husband leave her, but he left her for her best friend who lived across the road, who they'd included into her family for 15 or more years. Great heartbreak. Hurts that affect our hearts and how we look at the world. Abuse too. Often those who should be caring have been the one who have been the abuser, whether it's a family member or a leader of a youth organization. There will be some in our congregation who have been abused in some way or other. How does that affect someone's heart? But Jesus, he experienced betrayal from one of his closest friends, one of the 12, Judas. And Hebrew reminds us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. "We do not have a high priest," that's Jesus, "who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was hurt by Judas' betrayal, but he knows what it is, and can help us when we too are betrayed and hurt by others. It also goes on to say in Hebrews 2 that Jesus became like us in every respect, so that he will be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Jesus knows about us. He knows how people can hurt us. His experience of life with all the hurts and harm will help us to have love and empathy for others. But we need too to be honest before God about our hurts. Bring them to him so that he can help us to acknowledge them and to deal with them. And so often it can be that we say, when somebody says, "How are you?" we say, "Oh, fine, thank you," and move on. It's often the British way. But you know, it doesn't bring healing in the way that God wants to bring healing. And as God knows all about us anyway, it's good to bring things to him because he can heal deep hurts and lift our burdens when we give them to him. And then our bodies, it's great when they work well and can do everything that we want them to. They are part of us, our physical bodies. But as Paul puts it, and we read in that second lesson, we are like jars of clay. Jars of clay that get cracks in them and broken. So outwardly, Paul says we're wasting away, but inwardly, we can be renewed day by day. But if we have pain or a disability, it can influence our heart negatively. Not necessarily, but it can. Can you imagine being in pain every day of your life? Excruciating pain, always on painkillers. We all know, don't we, that when we've just had the flu or something quite minor, even a sore finger, it can influence how we feel. So those who are in physical difficulties and challenges, we need to understand how it can affect how they feel. Of course, that's not necessarily the case, and we have great examples like the Australian guy. I don't know if you've seen him, with no arms or legs. He's called Nick, and I can't pronounce his surname. It's kind of Czech. It looks Czech. Vichu, I don't know. Look him up. But he's great Christian. Amazing, amazing guy. No arms or legs, born like that, but an amazing Christian. And lives through and positively lives through his disability, as of course Jonah Erickson does as well. Great Christian examples. So I'm not saying that when we have physical disabilities we can't overcome them, but we do need to understand how it can be very difficult for our heart to thrive when we have bodily challenges. Edward Welsh, in that book that we're looking at together, Caring for One Another, says this: the more you understand a person's physical weaknesses, the more patient you will be with that person. And I think that's often true, and that's why very often it's difficult, isn't it, with mental illness, because we don't see it the same. And that's why we need to listen to one another, to have that empathy and to understand the weaknesses and problems of others. And thirdly, the power of circumstances. Well, there are 1,000 and more different circumstances, and I cannot begin to name them all. But redundancy is a big one, or loss of work, or no work. It's a human trigger known to make our hearts sink. Bereavement, terminal illness, grief, money problems, worrying how to make ends meet. Although the opposite, wealth does not always make up or cannot make up for the loss of poor relationships. And we could go on. But we need to understand and try to put ourselves in the position of someone else in facing difficult circumstances. But we need to be open and honest with one another, because very often people won't say, and we don't say. And then briefly, I want to mention spiritual circumstances too, because good spiritual influences can have a great effect on us and stay with us throughout our lives. There are some in the congregation here who went to the Billy Graham Crusades, and they talk about them today. How many years after? I don't know. People have talked to me about them. Because that experience was a good experience on their hearts. It was a powerful experience, and that's great. Or it may be that you had a great, faithful Sunday school teacher, as I did. Or a youth worker. And they have had that good influence that remains. But sadly, the opposite is also true. A poor experience of church life or someone in church can have a negative influence. Or even a member of a church who said something can stay with someone and keep them away from joining our family here. We need to be careful with our words. And the hurts that are caused can be carried for many years. Or it may be too that someone has been involved in occult practices. They thought it was just a bit of fun going to see Gypsy Rose or whoever, or being involved in Ouija boards. Negative spiritual influences can last a long time in our hearts. We need to deal with them and allow God to bring healing. So how can we care? How do we look at ourselves? Well, I think there are probably three things for me that tell me something isn't right. A lack of peace, anger that suddenly flares up from nowhere, and fear. They're not from God, are they? And so if we are experiencing those things, we need to look and understand ourselves and ask God to help us to see what's wrong. It's so easy to say sorry at the end of the day, maybe, and just run through it very quickly and knowing that God does forgive. But sometimes there are things that are still there that we're not dealing with. And if we have symptoms like that, we need to deal with them, and we ask God to deal with them in our hearts. Because if we've got a bad cough or whatever, we go to the doctors and ask for him to diagnose it. So if we've got a lack of peace or anger that suddenly springs up from nowhere, or a fear, then we need to bring it to God, the true doctor, who can discern and gently show us what is causing those problems within us. And when we do that, and we bring it to God in prayer, or we go and we're humble enough to ask someone else to pray for us, why is it that we're so afraid to ask someone to pray for us? It's easy, isn't it, to say, oh, well, just pray for my sister, will you? Or pray for so-and-so. But what about us? Are we honest with one another in our small groups? Do we ever go to the prayer corner and say, please pray for me, because all of it is confidential. We can do that. When things are hurting us or affecting us adversely, whether it's people, whether it's our bodies, whether it's our circumstances, let's ask for prayer as well as praying for ourselves. And the same for joy, things that give us joy, people who give us joy. Remember to thank them. And in our home groups, when, I don't know what your leader does, but hopefully they say, have you got anything you would like to pray about? No, I'm okay, thanks. How many times do we hear that? I'm okay, thanks. We're not okay. We're never going to be okay till we get to heaven anyway, are we? So let's be honest with one another. And when we do this, we're in a better position to care for one another, because we listen not just with our ears, but with our hearts. Knowing our own hearts helps us to listen to others. It may be that there's someone that you know, someone in the church congregation who's distant or abrupt. But do you know why? Have they been hurt? Have they got things that they need healing? Someone may be aggressive or angry at something. But why? We need to listen with our hearts and discern and ask God for that gift of discernment. Because as Edward Welsh says in that book, he says, suddenly when we see somebody's circumstances and understand what they're battling with, we may see a spiritual giant among us. We need to understand others from a humble heart where God is at work. You see, Jesus says that out of us, whoever believes in him, in John 7:38, streams of living water will flow from them. Is that a picture of you and me? Do we have a stream of living water flowing from us to others? I watched recently, the other night, a documentary called The Flood. And it was out about the Okavango River in the Botswana desert. And it doesn't flow out to sea. It's an internal one in the desert there. The photography was amazing. But first of all, there was a trickle. And what happened when that trickle started? Life. And then there was more and more and more water. So you got more and more life and more healing. Things that were seemingly dead coming to life. And it was just an amazing picture of this delta with all these rivers making this huge delta in the desert, bringing life and healing. And that is a picture that should be of our church. That we are a delta of streams of living water. And you might say to yourself, oh dear, I'm only a trickle. That's okay. Start with a trickle. And allow God's Spirit to change us from within so that we become not just a trickle, but a stream and then a river. Because that is Jesus' promise to you and me. And when streams of living water are flowing from each one of us, there will be healing of hurts. There will be wholeness of life. And life to the full that Jesus wants to give to each one of us. So may that be that picture. Keep that picture in your mind and pray it day by day that each of us is that stream of living water to those around us. Amen.